Welcome to Maximum Impact, reaching you from the Citadel of Impact, Abuja, New Estate Baptist Church. We enjoin you to open your mind and connect with the Lord as we receive engrafted words. Get ready to be greatly blessed as we join His anointed servant, Pastor Abiodun Aribike.
Can you lift your right hand and let your sending thank you, God thank you. We thank you. We bless your name. We appreciate your majesty. We glorify you. We thank you. We glorify your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. You know, there are some things that happen or somebody tells you something. You say, that's unfortunate. You know, that's unfortunate. We are going to pray. Between now and the end of the year, nobody is going to tell me that is unfortunate. We come against every unfortunate situation, unfortunate experiences. Can we pray in the name of Jesus? We come in the name of Jesus. Between now and the end of the year, none will be able to say anything concerning us and say that is unfortunate. We come against every unfortunate circumstances, unfortunate situations, unfortunate experiences. We reject unfortunate experiences. In the name of Jesus, we come against every form of unfortunate experience. In the name of Jesus, unfortunate experiences. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Say with me, say, as the year is coming to an end, say, no mishap, no misfortune, no losses. In the name of Jesus, can you make that decree? Say, I stand on the blood of Jesus. I come in the name of Jesus. I stand on the word of the Lord. And I decree, as this year is coming to an end, in my life and my family, no mishap, no misfortune, no losses, no weeping, no sorrowing, no gnashing of teeth, no running helter-skelter. In the name of Jesus, no mishap, no mishap, no mishap, no misfortune. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Say, by the grace of the Lord, I end this year stronger than I started this year. In the name of, can we pray in the name? I end the year stronger. I end the year grateful. I end the year stronger. I end the year grateful. I end the year on a high. I am lifted up at the end of the year. In the name of Jesus, all my end of year plans, they succeed. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We glorify your name. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the grace that has brought us here and brought us this far.
We lift up a new song.
We magnify your name. We bless you. We thank you. We hallow your name. We honor you. Accept our heart of thanksgiving and our worship. Blessed be your name, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Have your seat. Welcome somebody to church. Thank you. Welcome somebody to church. Okay. I welcome you to church. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's read verse 1 and 2. You know, for every truth in the word of God that the devil can do nothing about, he helps us to take it to the extreme. And the devil just manipulates you to misuse it.
Second Corinthians 6. We'll take 1, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2. I didn't say verse 2. Verse 1 and 2. Can we read together? No. Give me New King James, please. Can we read together? I want to go. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Verse 2. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Can we go back to verse 1 and read it again? Verse 1. Okay, now let's go. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. I am here this morning as your pastor with love in my heart to you, to please plead with you and beg you not to take the grace of God in vain. What do we mean if we say you have taken the grace of God in vain? It means the grace that is useful. Useful. The grace that is of effect is now no longer useful in your life. And now has no effect in your life. So the effect that grace brings, the change that grace brings, the positivity that grace brings, the good things that grace brings, is no longer available to you. And that is why the man of God writing to the Christians in Corinth begged and pleaded with them as fellow workers together with him not to take, not to receive the grace of God in vain. And listen, he was writing to believers. So, this is his plea. And that same plea is my plea to you as your pastor. Because 5 weeks ago, I came and I taught about Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone. And we took it for 3 weeks. And there is this tendency of people thinking they understand grace and make grace of no effect in their lives. Follow me. We are going somewhere. What does it mean to make the grace of God vain? It means to live our lives in a way that nullifies the grace of God that we have received. To live our lives in a way that nullifies the grace of God that we receive. Let me show you 4 ways in which we make the grace of God of no effect in our lives. 4 ways in which we make the grace of God vain in our lives. 4 ways that make grace to work for somebody and it does not work for you. Why? Because the grace of God has been made vain in your life. Hebrews chapter 3, let's read from verse 14. Hebrews 3, from verse 14. We are reading together. Let's go. For we have become partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Let's go. Why it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebel? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? What did Israel do that make, what did Abraham do that make God choose him? He was an idol worshiper somewhere in all of the Chaldeans where God called him. There were many idol worshippers there. But grace found Abraham and called Abraham. Abraham had a first child called Ishmael. But grace found Isaac. Isaac had Jacob, had Esau. Esau was the first. But grace found Jacob. And that grace brought a covenant with Israel. And Israel was in Egypt for a long time. 400 years suffering. They cried unto the Lord. But 400 years after, the Lord heard their voice and made grace available and sent Moses to them. And that grace took them from Egypt, moved them into the wilderness with various miracles. And many people in church have enjoyed the goodness of God in various ways, even though we do not deserve it, but grace makes it available. But they got into the wilderness and started rebelling against God. They became so familiar with God. They thought they have seen everything. Water came out of the rock. Red Sea parted. They had no respect for the word of God they gave because of familiarity. They had in their heart, what can he say again? What is the new thing? We have been in this church for long. We have seen it all. Even Baba Adeboye, now my friend, Bishop Wedeko, we just came from Shiloh. I was the one that ministered for him. Had in their heart. Because they thought they know everything. And his warning to you is that learn from Israel. That same grace that brought them through from Egypt, that grace that made us and let their fathers, that grace can't be received in vain. Verse 17. Move to the next verse. We then, as workers, read with me. Verse 17 of Hebrews 3. Let's go together. Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? Verse 18. And to whom did he swear that they will not enter his rest, but those who did not obey? Verse 19. Read with me. Let me hear your voice. Let's go. So see that they could not enter because of unbelief. We make the grace of God vain in our lives because of unbelief. The word of God will come out if you don't add faith to it. If you don't believe the word, if the grace behind the word becomes vain for you. Most of the time, you see, we keep asking. People ask the question, Pastor, why would the same word of God come? Two people who receive the word. Many people who in church. It will only work in the life of a few. The word of God works at all times, but it works in the life of the people that believe in him. Did you not notice? Have you not seen? The same word in church is coming about fruitfulness. The same word is coming about integrity. The same word coming in various dimensions of life. Did you notice that the dimension that people accept, the word works for them there. The one they don't accept, the word does not work for them there. Listen. The grace behind the word of God that is preached will be vain in your life if you do not believe it. If you do not believe it. As an African, I know if I make it in life, and you know I make it in life, the first set of people I will take care of is my family. And then I'll take care of my kinsmen, take care of my townsmen. And then I remember others. But you know you are part of my family, Abi. Okay, put that at the back of your mind. Now, Jesus went to Nazareth. Is it Luke chapter 5 or Luke chapter 4? And he could not do any miracle there. I thought if there's a place that Jesus will do miracles, it is at his backyard, where he grew up, where he was familiar with. But he could not do one, except to do heal headache, heal catarrh, you know, all those ones that if you leave it, it will go itself. He just healed those small ones. And why could he not do that? Because of unbelief. I beg you, do not let familiarity with the word of God move you into unbelief. The word you don't believe cannot work for you. The word you don't believe is a wish. A word you don't believe that you want to walk is a wish. It's a word you believe that works for you. We make the grace of God vain in our lives through unbelief. Number two, how do we make the grace of God vague in our life? Go to our passage, 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2. We then, as workers together with him, also pleased with you, not to receive the grace of God in vain. Let's read verse 2 together. Verse 2. For he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is a day. There is a word for a time. There is a word for a season. There is time and season attached to some word for you. If you don't receive it at that time, it might not work for you in the future. Hello, please, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? There is a word that is now. There is a favorable season. There is a time for everything under the sun. Your time might be different from my time. A word might come today and I take it like a testimony. It might not be that time for that word for me. If you sit near me in church and you compare yourself with me, you act like me, you don't receive the word like me, I'm pressing phone, you are pressing phone, and the word is a now word for you, and you miss it, you can miss it forever. For me, I can gain it later. But I'm the one that caused you to miss it. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is a now word. Listen to me. All of us will not give our life to Christ the same day. Different people will give their life to Christ different times. But give your life to Christ on your day, in your time, in your season. There is a favorable time. There is an appointed time. There is a favorable season for the word of God. There is a favorable season for salvation. Do not miss it. When you don't accept and receive the now what now, you make the grace of God vain. You look for it, you don't see it again. The Bible commends us and advises us not to be like Esau, who for a morsel of bread sold his birthright. What did the Bible say? He said he looked for it with everything he had. He did not get it again. But look at Jacob. Jacob missed it many times. He still got it at the end of the day. Let Esau not compare themselves with Jacob because they will suffer. Let Esau not compare themselves with Jacob's. Me, I know my limit. I tell everybody what everybody does that is wrong. I dare not go there. I've known that since I was young. So I know they pass my... People think it's boring. It's enjoyable. I don't need to think, what did I do yesterday that is wrong that I have to correct today? I don't have to do all those things. Know your limit. Please let me tell somebody, say, know your limit. There is time. Timing, season for everybody. And the word of God for you, there is a time for it. There is a season for it. If you miss it, you might not receive it again forever. I was sharing with them in the first service what my dear friend, my covenant brother, Pastor Tosin, preached when we were at that place and gave an example. While he was in the Badam preaching, the Lord told him, there is somebody with breast cancer in the church. Tell the person to come. Pray for the person. So, my dear brother Adam, there's a woman here with breast cancer. Maybe left. Please, the Lord wants to heal you. Come, let me pray for you. The person did not come out. Mention it second time. Nobody came. Mention it third time. Nobody came. You know, in fact, at that time, he said, I will mention it three times. If you don't come out, that's the time. When he mentioned it, he thought nobody came. Did I really hear God? He mentioned it the fourth time. Mentioned it the fifth time. Nobody came. He moved on. And then they finished the service. After they finished the service,
one man with a classy wife came to the pastor's office to see him for counseling. He said, "We are the one that you have been mentioning." And my brother told him, "The anointed has lifted. It is no longer there. But as a pastor, I will pray for you." The woman died of that cancer. There is a season. There is a time for the world. They lift your right hand and do. We are not, you know, there is a time. There is a season. There is what you do. If it passes you by, you can run away. You can run after it forever and not get it. But I pray for everyone here that kind of grace has eluded. Let mercy begin to speak for you. May mercy locate you. May mercy locate you. May the God of mercy remember you. May the God of mercy remember you. In the name of Jesus. So, we make the grace of God vain if we don't believe the word of God. We make the grace of God vain if we don't receive the word of God in its season. There are many personal examples, or example of people I know, example of people in church that we can share. That people miss their opportunities because of somebody they sat with in church, because of feeling big, because they were with their boyfriend or girlfriends in church, so they could not do something. May grace not elude you in the name of Jesus. Are we seeing church? Hebrews chapter 4. So the first one, when we don't believe the word, grace is made vain. Number two, when we don't receive the word, grace is made vain. Hebrews chapter 2, let's read 1 to 4. Hebrews chapter 2, 1 to 4. Grace, making grace of God vain. Let's read together. Therefore, we must give more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we do what? We drift away. For if the word, through angels, proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just... Look at this verse 2. It said, if the word the angels spoke, everyone that disobeyed it received a just reward. Let's look at an example. Zechariah, a priest of the Lord, was in a temple. When suddenly he saw an angel and Gabriel spoke to him, "The Lord has sent me to you. Elizabeth, your son, your wife, will soon be with child." And he looked at the Gabriel in unbelief. And Gabriel got angry at me and said, "I'm angel Gabriel, I stand in the presence of the Lord." I think that's Luke chapter 1, Abby. "I stand in the presence of the Lord. Because of this, you'll be deaf and dumb for until this child." For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience to that word receive a just reward. He didn't call it punishment. It called that punishment a just reward. Now, if the word of angels that were not received receive a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Hebrews chapter 3 that we read was speaking about they hardened their heart and they were not saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the word came, it came on the day of salvation. They did not receive it. How can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord? Who spread the word first? The Lord Jesus. If people did not receive the word of angels and angels punished them, how much more, how can we escape if we neglect this word of salvation that was first preached by the Lord who created the angels and was confirmed to us by those who heard it? The Lord spoke the word. It was confirmed by the apostles. Look at number 3. God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders,
with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. How can we escape? Number three, way in which we make the word grace of God vain is when we neglect the word of God, when we neglect grace, when we neglect the opportunity for salvation, when we neglect it, it becomes vain. I beg of you, believe the word. Receive the word. Do not neglect the word. Every word that comes from this altar is a noun word. Respond to it immediately. Don't postpone obedience to the word of God into the future. Don't come see me after service scratching your head and say, Pastor, and you said it to Pastor, and you said it to Pastor, and you want us to Pastor, and you pray for me, oh, Pastor. I don't want to hear those words again. The word is a noun word. It needs a noun obedience. And obedience postponed is partial obedience, and it is still disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. It makes the grace of God vain. Partial obedience is disobedience. It makes the grace of God vain. Saul, go to the Amalekites. Destroy every one of them, everything. He destroyed some people, carried some sheep, and brought the king also. As far as Saul was concerned, he had 99% obedience. But as far as God was concerned, partial obedience is disobedience. Help me tell someone, say partial obedience, delayed obedience, is disobedience before God. When we do this, we make the grace of God vain. The grace that is supposed to have effect, great effect, supposed to be useful in our lives, it becomes vain. Let's take the last thing that makes the grace of God in our life vain. Do you know what it is? Number one, when we don't believe it, unbelief. Number two, when we do not receive it. Number three, when we neglect it. Number four, when we misuse the grace of God. The grace of God becomes great. Romans chapter 6. Let's read 1 and 2. Romans chapter 6. Let's read verse 1 and 2. Join 1 and 2 together for me. Can we all read it together as a church? Let's go. One to go. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer? When you live your life in sin, you have misused the grace of God and you are making the grace of God vain. You know what? You know that verse started with, how shall we say then? That means he has been saying something before he got to this place. In chapter 7, he was talking, in chapter 5, he was talking about the fact that where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Where there are difficulties, there is grace for you to overcome those difficulties. Where there is sin, there is grace for that sin. So people now, he now said, what shall we say then? Because people can now say, if we say sin increase, grace increase, let's continue sinning so that grace will be increasing. So he now came and said, I know my people. Let me quickly warn them. If we say where there is sin, there is grace, does not mean that if you continue sinning, grace will continue being there. He now asked them, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. I think King James says, God forbid. Can you say God forbid with me? He says, how shall we who died to sin live any longer
a believer
is misusing the grace of God. And is making the grace of God vain in our lives. Titus chapter 2.
11 to 12. Titus 2.
11 and 12.
Help me. Put them together if it's possible. Let's read together. No, give me NIV. Change it to NIV. Can we all read together? One, two, go. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to how many people? All men. It teaches us to say no to.
If you have the grace of God, the first thing that grace does for you, that it gives you an ability to say no. When you don't say no, you have made the grace of God vain in your life.
Grace gives you the ability. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and what? And worldly passion. Helps us to say no to pornography. Helps us to say no to drugs. Helps us to say no to addiction. And even if you have said yes to the addiction, grace has the power to break it when you come to Him.
No believer will meet God at the end of the age, on the judgment day, and say, I didn't have power to stop it. Grace empowers to say no. Empowers.
See, look at this. To say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. So grace empowers us to say no and empowers us to say yes. No to what God dislikes and yes to what God likes. Look at what He says yes to.
And to live self-controlled, upright, and godly life in this present Nigeria with its wahala, with its problems, with its difficulties, with its challenges, with its sakpa.
So you can't say sakpa made me do it. Did I get it? Is this sakpa you call it? You can't say sakpa made me do it.
Self-control. Ability to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion. And yes to self-control.
You can't say the devil made me do it. You can say no to the devil. And yes to righteousness. I pray for you that may the grace of God not be vain in your life.
In the name of Jesus.
Let's go a little. Let's go a little further. 1 Corinthians 5. 1 and 2.
Grace of God. When we sin, we misuse the grace of God.
Look at this. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. I almost said no be this church, but let me keep quiet. Let me continue. Or should I say no be this church? Nobody is answering me. Hey, pastor, if you say so, you're on your own. That is why you must hear this word. Oh yeah, for that, we are reading together. Let's go.
It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality. Do you know that this church is the most spiritual church in the Bible? They had all the gifts of the Spirit. They blow in tongues. They prophesy. There are miracle signs and wonders everywhere. Go and read 1 Corinthians.
Very spiritual. The substance. They had no substance. A man was sleeping with his father's wife. And after that, magadaga. Area gadadabaga. Now keyboard, they make people fall, Joe. No be any anointing. There's no substance. I'm not talking about my people. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. And of a kind that does not occur even among pagans.
A man has his father's wife. Verse 2. And you are proud.
Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship, that man who did it. In fact, you know what I've discovered? That what will scatter a church, the pastor is the last person to know about it when it is late. May God surround you with good people. You know, as a pastor, you need to forgive in advance. Or else, and I've been taught forgiveness since I was very young, so I don't hold anybody in hand. You do something, I tell you immediately, I forget and I move on. Or else, there are some people that I should never forgive in this church. You know what? They didn't do anything against me. There are some things in the church that was going to cause wahala. And all the hard work we have done, we broke it. They knew about it. They never told me. It is somebody that will come and say, "Pastor, I heard this is happening. And I think you should know." And then they tell me, "So this man knows about it? Yes. This one knows about it? Yes." But they did not tell me. They don't want to be quoted. But they want the church to scatter. And after, he will come with his head. "Anoint me, sir. I will conk your head." God will hold you responsible for the information you have also. God will hold you responsible for the information you have that is not appropriately utilized for his kingdom. Jump to verse 9. Jump to verse 9. Verse 9. "I have written to you in my letter not to associate." This one, we go, they read them together. No, be only me go read them. Oh yeah, let's go. One, two, go. "I have written to you in my letter not to associate with who? Sexual immoral people." "Not at all," meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy and swindlers, or idolaters. In that case, you have to leave. Before 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote another letter to the Corinthians. And he told them not to associate with sexual immoral people. So they misinterpreted it to mean that any sexual immoral person in the world, they should not talk to. So he wrote this to clarify. That when I say don't talk to sexual immoral people, I'm not talking about unbelievers that are sexual immoral. Because you have to leave this world. Some of you, your boss, sleeps with everybody in the office. You are not going to leave the office together because you have nowhere to gain another salary. So you still stay and collect your salary. Do your work well and collect your salary. Is that not it? So he's telling you, he's not saying you should leave all those ones. But let's see what he's telling us. Look at verse 11 to 13. "But now," and let's go, "but now, I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone." I can't hear your voice. "You must not associate with anyone who calls himself a believer, a brother, but is sexual immoral, slanderer." Is slander in the Bible? Is the Bible against slander? There are many church people are guilty. You need to see people outside church. Gossip, slander. After slander, what did he say? What is he written? I didn't hear you. Say that again. I will not say more than this. Let's go to the next one. What is slander? Yahoo, Yahoo, G boy. You are chopping part of the money, Abi. The cost, you will chop part of it. It's just a matter of time. Don't worry. Or a swindler. Let's read the last one. With such a... Do not... In this age of Sakpa. Don't make the grace of God vain in your life by your life of sin. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 4. Hebrews 6:4. I need to read two more scriptures. Hebrews 6:4. Let's go. It is impossible. Now, let's divide this. It is impossible for some people. Who are those people? Number one, those who are
once enlightened, the entrance of your light gives light and gives understanding. Those that look unto you are enlightened and they are never put to shame. So people that have given their life to Christ are those that are called the enlightened ones. So it is impossible for the enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, of salvation, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, they have been born again by the Spirit, they know they give us rest, then they blow in tongues, they say they have done 6 hours, they say there is revival now. Magadabaga. I have never seen a revival that came that sin did not leave. But we shout revival everywhere because everybody is speaking the talk and praying long hours. And after they pray, they go slander. After they pray, they go commit sexual sin. After they pray, and they call it revival. Nigerians don't understand revival. When there is revival, the first thing that happens is hatred of sin. Hatred of sin. Wherever there is revival, there is hatred of sin. In Nigeria, we all know the country we are. Our churches are growing larger and larger. And sin is growing with it. Growing with it. Growing with it. Growing with it. And we say there is revival. There is no revival. It is not a rain. It's a drizzly. It's a cloud. It has not started falling. You can't have revival and love sin. We can gather millions. But if there is no righteousness, it is nothing. The grace of God has been made vain. Who have tasted? Go back to verse 4. I want to read this very well. Go back to verse 4 for me. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit. Let's go. Verse 5. Who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming age. It is impossible for them. If they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. Because what? Because to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again, subjecting him to public. Sir, man, your life, is it subjecting Christ to public disgrace? You are making the grace of God vain. Then we come. Yagadagada, magadagada, riagadada, madadagada, riagadada. And he's doing that because he's eyeing somebody in church. Grace of God in vain. Lord, we are sorry. He's turned around and gone astray. Play that for me if you know it. Just be playing that for me. Hebrews chapter 10. 26 to 31. Our sins makes the grace of God vain. Our sins. Look at the third one. Let's read together. What is the meaning of deliberately? Intentionally. Consciously. In our senses, intentionally, consciously, deliberately. Okay, let's go. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no grace is left. Deliberately, intentionally, unconsciously, and somebody is stupid enough to say, I will not forgive him. I will not forgive him. But you come, oh Lord, forgive me. Have mercy on me. He said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who. He said, blessed are the merciful. They shall. I will not forgive. You will not be forgiven, sir.
deliberately, intentionally want to speak ill of somebody after this service. But he has heard the word of God. They still see the pity body. He still wants to talk after. No sacrifice for sin is left. See, you can fall into sin. If you do it intentionally, it is deliberate. It is a rebellion. Don't make the grace of God of no effect. Don't nullify the grace of God in your life. The grace that has covered you, don't go against that grace in your life. Don't deliberately, rebelliously, intentionally, consciously look at sin and commit it and think you will go back and ask for forgiveness. Is making the grace of God vain. So all those year plans for Christmas that is outside the will of God, stop it now. Say no to it. If you understand, say no. Let me hear you. Okay, quiet with me. Bros, to my bros here, they are frowning. I will come and hold your hand and say no. All those year, end of year plans that will bring disgrace to Christ if you are caught. Stop it, because you will be caught. Righteousness exalts. Sin is a reproof. It's a reproach to every nation. Put the verse 26 and 27 together. Let me just take the two together and not move forward. Let me close my pad so that I will not be tempted to talk more about this. So now, let's all read together as a church. See, I don't know. Some people are saying, I don't know what made me come to church today. You know why? I'm saying that because it got to a time I stopped reading the Bible. 1997. For 1 year, I did not touch the Bible. But I just discovered there are many instructions I'm reading. This is wrong. If you don't note it, I will note it. Do this. So the instructions were getting too much. And it looked as if I was not going to have a free hand to enjoy my life. So the best way is for me not to read again. So that nobody, God will not tell me, note this, do this, note that, do this, don't do this, this. Some are already complaining, why did I come to hear this word today? Maybe you go read them with me. Not be only me go, they see this. All of us go do the thing together. Oh yeah, look at the screen. Here we go. Let's go. If we deliberately keep on sinning, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies. You are not an enemy of God. Hell was not created for you. But if you join the devil, you will go to hell with him. Bow our heads, let us pray together. Lord, help me not to make your grace vain in my life. Can we talk to me? Help me. You love me so much. You've helped me so much. I've enjoyed your mercy. Unknowingly, I'm making your grace vain. Help me, help me. Help me not to make your grace vain in my life. Help me not to consciously, deliberately, intentionally go against your word. Help me to flee sexual immorality. Help me not to make your grace vain. Help me, help me, help me. I refuse to make the grace of God vain in my life. I refuse to make the grace of God vain in my life. I refuse to make the grace of God vain in my life. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Eyes still closed, head still bowed. The first way we make the grace of God vain is not to believe the word. His word is that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and your family. He said, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believing in your heart, you shall be saved. Is there anybody here that wants to be saved, giving their life to Christ? wherever you are, lift your right hand up. Let's pray with you together. Anyone, you have not given your life to God, you want to give your life to Him so that you'll be saved, lift your right hand to Him. I don't want to make the grace of God vain. We thank you. We glorify your name. In the name of Jesus. You have given your life to Christ before, but by the life you are living, you know you are making the grace of God vain. And today you want to rededicate your life to Him. Lift your right hand up. I want to rededicate my life to you. I want to rededicate my life to you. I want to rededicate my life to you. I give you all the praise. I give you all the praise. Can you all lift your right hand up? Let me pray for you. Receive the grace. Intentionally, deliberately, consciously obey the word of God. Receive the grace to deliberately, intentionally, consciously follow the precept and the instruction of the Lord. Receive the grace, mercy, empowerment of the Lord to follow Him all the days of your life. Receive the grace not to disappoint the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And the church said,
thank you for sharing the moment with us. We hope you have been blessed, and we look forward to hearing from you. You can reach us via WhatsApp, SMS, or calls on 090-1137-1118. You can visit or worship with us at the Citadel of Impact, New Estate Baptist Church, behind Silver Mall, near Sakale Bus Stop, Buhari Expressway, Dusse Alaji, Abuja. Or join us on Facebook and YouTube at NEBC Dusse Abuja, on Instagram at TCI_Abuja, or MixLR audio channel at TCI-Abuja. Our worship time is 7:30 a.m., 9 a.m., and 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, and on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Till we come your way again, stay blessed and stay safe. Grace to you.